Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the SOM TV podcast. My name is Jason Wise. On today's episode, I have a very, very special opportunity to drink a wine from my birth year with Maurizio Zanella, who is the founder of Ca del Bosco in Franciacorta, Italy. He came to Los Angeles, and I was able to be the first person in the United States to drink a wine that has sat on the lees for 42 years. It's just, I had to fanboy here a little bit because this wine was truly one of the best wines I've ever had. You'll have to forgive me in the upcoming podcast for how excited I am. Really great wine and a really amazing story. If you're a SOM TV subscriber, you can watch this episode where I sit down and open this bottle with Maurizio right now.
Hey, SOM TV podcast listeners. Before we get to today's episode, if you are in New York City, our new film, Cup of Salvation, is playing through Thursday, December 14th at the Angelica Film Center and is returning to theaters in Los Angeles at the Lemley Santa Monica December 14th and playing all week at the Lemley Royal until December 21st. Select showtimes will have Q&As with the director and wine from the film is available. Critics are calling SOM Cup of Salvation among the finest storytelling you will experience from a documentary in recent memory. Get tickets at somfilms.com and thank you everyone for the amazing support.
Without further ado, my conversation with Maurizio Zanella and a 43-year-old wine that sat on the lees for 42 years. I am here with Maurizio Zanella, who is the founder and president of Ca del Bosco in Franciacorta in Italy. And he's not just here with me to drink a glass of wine. We are here to drink a 1980 Anna Maria Clemente.
Yeah.
This is my birth year. I was born in 1980.
Yeah.
I was. And it's oftentimes, 1980 is a very tough vintage to find. It was a tough vintage around the world for certain reasons. And to drink this, I'm so excited.
Very, very. I am happy that it's your birthday.
So is it true what I've heard? This is the first bottle opening in the United States.
Yes, absolutely.
No pressure.
We present this wine 10 days ago in Italy.
Uh-huh.
And will be on the market in about, in Italy in 15 days.
All right, but before I open this, I have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be mean. But are you crazy taking a bottle 40 years ago, taking all these bottles and laying them down?
42.
42 years ago.
Yeah.
So if you think what kind of faith in your company and your belief in Franciacorta does that take to say in 42 years, I'm going to open this wine and lay it down. It's like a time capsule. I'm just curious like what the thought process is because, I mean, that is a strong belief in the future.
We always believe that we must keep all our vintages that we still have.
Uh-huh.
All our vintages, we have a certain amount. The fact is of this vintage, we have a good number of bottles. So probably we was crazy enough to believe that all those bottles, they can survive after 43 years. So we was tasting yearly. And say, now it's ready. No, we can wait. Now it's ready. No, we can wait. So we take the fact and the opportunity to toast the fact that Ca del Bosco project is done in terms of dimension, in quantity. We will not grow anymore in the future.
Uh-huh.
We stop any possibility to grow. And we finish our dream. The dream has become reality. And so we finish finally after 52 years, the cellar, after 52 harvests, we finish the cellar. So we can send away architect, workers.
It took that long.
Yeah, because we were always in progress. So always with people around us, so we cannot concentrate at the in our job. And so after 52 harvest, we are arrived. Ca del Bosco 2.0 is beginning. And so we say we have to toast a new life. And this is the toast. In the 80, we have put away a good amount of bottles, 6,000. And we forgot the 6,000, you know, after Remouage.
Down in the cellar.
Surpoint.
Yeah.
You know, in the vertical position, in the cellar. And so we was tasting yearly and to stay with the winemaker, with the is ready, is not ready. My God, it's too old, it's not too old. And so we arrive and we say, now is the time, because Cadelbosco start a new life, because we finished the dream. The dream is done. So we can only do better in quality, but in quantity we are done. And we will not see any worker around for forever. It's finished, it's done. The cellar is amazing. So the experience now is really unique, impressive. We want to get attached to the consumer, very, how you say, emotional, but without to be technical. We don't want to speak with the word of the wine that sometimes is too complex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, I certainly am familiar with that. I mean, wine is one of these things that, when taken at its value, is very easy to understand. And sometimes wine people overcomplicate it.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, we have done a big mistake in the past 50 years because we are too passionate and we are a little bit crazy and we go too deep. And so we use word and we use language that the consumer, instead to become close to us, we push you far away.
Right.
And so, in my opinion, this has been a big mistake. So we try with the new cellar to make everything easy to understand. So we have done a sensorial room where the people can have the sense of the eyes, of the nose, of the touch, on the hearing, not of the taste, because this is the last one that you will do testing the wine.
Sure.
But the other four, you can give an experience on wine, don't using wine word.
Right.
And use it just emotion.
I love the idea of an Italian sitting next to me saying, we were too passionate.
This was a mistake.
I think when it comes to a wine like this, the thought of, A, it being the first one here opened in the States, which is a huge honor for me. But B,
which occasion that your birth?
Yeah, well, in my birth year.
Yeah.
And then the fact that we are talking about a wine that represents the next stage for your winery. And I would also say, look, Cadelbosco, I know a lot of people who will say that Cadelbosco is very important to Franciacorta as far as its foundation, what it means, the quality. It's an important thing. I'm not saying it's because you were here. Sommeliers and wine professionals talk about this winery in a very esteemed manner. This is a huge bet for you to make a wine like this. Can we open it?
Can I open it?
So you tried this every single year as it...
We have a way all the vintages from 79, but 79 are a quantity too small that we cannot put on the market.
Uh-huh.
And so we have all the vintages that we put on the market. If the quality, we know already that 81 will be not on the market and 82 will be on the market, for example.
I'll pour you your wine first, of course.
Thank you. So will be not something episodic, will be something consistently. Obviously, with the number of bottles very limited.
Start with a small pour here. I can smell this wine already.
You see already the color.
Oh my God. Well, okay, so 40 years, and this sat on the lees for 40 years.
Yeah, 42.
42 years. Are you aware of any other wine from a sparkling champenois method that has done this before? In a scale like you guys.
That go on the market...
42 years.
That go on the market for sale? No. There are no... I don't know. Probably they exist, but I don't know any sparkling wine in the world that is gone the market with this amount of year on the East. I don't know, but I believe it's unique.
I think so. So I just a full disclosure, I love old champagne. Like, I love it. I'll get in a stranger's car for old champagne. I am a big, big, big fan. And so when it comes to you know, a lot of the things that I have filmed, I have geared it towards. We opened up a 69 Ruin Art in one, in a film that I directed. Smelling this, the second I smelled it, this brought me back to that moment where I know I'm opening up something incredibly special. This, I would love to blind taste somebody on this. What do you think this is? How old is this? Where did this come from? Because this smells both totally singular and of a quality that is outrageous. But the bubbles
are still alive.
Oh my God, you guys, this wine is out. This wine is really, really good. There's nobody would ever think this is 42 years old. The acid on this wine and the amount of effervescence, the amount of bubbles doesn't make a lot of sense for the age. I mean, it's clearly very, very well-crafted wine. When you taste this, I know that you taste your own wine all the time.
Yeah.
But when you taste this, what do you taste? What do you smell?
Well, I don't want to use word that, like we say before,
Sure.
They're too technical.
You don't want to talk about like brioche and yeastiness and
I am a little integralist now.
Okay.
Sorry about this. And I prefer to explain how the emotion should be in order to make pleasure, real and pure pleasure, to who is drinking this wine.
Describing it, it to me, you better, I hope you feel proud of this.
For sure.
Because this is a huge accomplishment.
It is like, I love champagne.
Uh-huh. So you love champagne?
Old style champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And for who like me have loved and still love the old way to think champagne that is a little bit lost, this is the proof that this kind of wine can be done and can be go on the market and give it its place. And honestly, now there are only one, probably two house that they still try to go in this direction. But the fact that no one is arrived to get 42 years in the East, we are very proud.
Yeah, you should be. I've had a lot of old champagne. I've had a lot more old champagne and good, truly great old champagne. You know, from some of the great houses, a lot of vintage stuff. This particular thing, the way the, and I know we don't want to talk in total wine terms here.
Yeah.
But the way, let's talk in a chemistry term.
Okay? Yeah.
The way the acid and the way the body.
All of the body balance.
I have not had a wine like this from a champagne method at this age that tastes like this wine in my life. And I've had a lot. You know, I have no reason to lie to you. This is really special. I'm really, what does it cost? It's 19 euros a bottle, this wine?
I have no idea.
I'm just kidding.
How much?
I'm just kidding. I think a wine like this, to sit down and go, we are going to wait 42 years to release a wine. Only the wine business can do this. You can't do this in film.
No,
you can't
in
do
anything.
This in cars. You can't do this
I always say that doesn't exist the product in the world that you think to build and you need 42 years. Doesn't exist anything. You can go on the moon and project a shuttle, you take less than 40 years. So there is no product, even a high complicated watch, whatever you want. You can build in 3, 4, 5, 6 years, but nothing, a building. Whatever you think, nothing in the world take 42 years to be ready.
Yeah. Well, me, I guess, I took that much time. So tasting this, if you were going to start a wine again right now, right now, and you're going to age it another 42 years, what would you do differently than this wine?
Well, was the second vintage of Anna Maria, was the third vintage of Franciacorta. So
this was the third vintage ever made in Franciacorta?
In Cattelbosco.
In Cattelbosco.
Because the first vintage for was 76. So 76, so is the fourth. Yeah. But for Anna Maria was the second, because 79 was the first. Mm-hmm. And for what is became Anna Maria, was not called Anna Maria at the time. It became Anna Maria with the bottle shape and with the label in 89. And what we will do differently.
Well, I just wonder, would you do
a ton of things, but then when you taste this, you say, why we have done all these things?
Yeah.
Is appropriate what we have done in order to... So the fact that we pass from conventional to organic give any advantage of quality? I don't think so. I don't think so. We have choose this not for quality of the grape. We have choose this to be, responsible with our terroir, with our land, in order to give back what we steal, okay? And to respect and to be really sustainable, not just with the world, but that's the reason why we are organic. Then the fact that we was obliged to be the only crazy winery to wash and dry the grapes and to patent a berry spa that half of the world was laughing about us in the winemaking.
Wait, so stop there for one sec. Why was the world, when you were doing what you were doing in the early parts of Franciacorta with Canal Vasco, what do you mean the world was laughing at you? What do you mean?
It was laughing when we start to think to wash and dry the grapes. Water was the kind of blasphemy in the wine quality, in the noble wine. Using water was crazy. So they are nuts to use water to make a great wine. So the people was laughing. Say they're stupid. I believe now they have changed their mind, especially when they come to see the color of the water after 3 minutes that we put grapes inside, and you see the water brown, all the animal.
all the bugs and
then normally they go inside the press.
Of course.
And they don't add, I believe, a lot of quality. They have an animal taste, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't taste any animals here.
You know, but you see. So you think, why we have done all this, and we know why we have done, if we have already this kind of result. So we put in discussion what we have done in order to always be anticipate the problem, so reduce sulfite. At the time, we was using a ton of sulfite. Ton. A normal quantity.
Yeah.
And now we are using one-third of what is with this wine. So all the progress that we are doing, we are always thinking, when we taste this wine, why we have progress is correct.
Sure.
And so sometimes we think we will see the same benefit. That means that our 2022 will be a lot better in 42 years than this one. This is what we believe, because it's mathematics.
Yeah, can you look? I don't know if it can be better than this. Then I look forward to it. I don't know if I will be there, but
some we will see.
Well, just leave me your bottles, just in case. Okay. If there's any issues, I'll give you my address. So let me ask you something really fast. I know that I know that you love champagne.
Yeah.
I know that you love French wines. Why create a wine in Northern Italy that's like champagne? And why wouldn't you just go make wine in Champagne? I want to know the story of why you made Canal Vasco. Why did you put it there?
Because in those years, Italy in the 70s was really in a direction completely different, where quantity was the only reason to make this business on the market from north of Italy to south of Italy.
Mm-hmm.
the only word was quantity and cheap price. And so when I start, I was so lucky that I start visiting France. I, not having a father and grandfather doing this job, I was the advantage to have the mind very objective, clear, without any preconception.
Nobody pushing you to go a certain direction.
To go in a certain direction. So
you could be rebellious without rebelling. You know, you could rebel without having to rebel.
So it was easy to understand that we can do, why we cannot do the same. If they do, we can do, and we can do better. And the people were telling me, are you nuts? I say, no, if they do, we can do better. Because if we are more integralist, we can do better.
Yeah.
It's easy. So we need the culture. That's why who made this wine was a gentleman named Dubois, André Dubois, that I steal from Champagne. And he came to help me because at the time I was a kid, because I was very young. I was 20 years old. And so I have no experience, no culture, no tradition. So I need someone to help me to get the culture, not the technicality, the respect. Because Dubois was not a winemaker, was a chef de cave. That is different.
Yes, definitely.
Not university, no study, just...
But the chef de cave is a very smart, smart person.
Yes, with a lot of experience, a lot of culture.
Oh, yes.
But not study, you know? Not a chemistry.
Right.
Just tradition,
their gut,
experience.
Yeah, their gut and their mind.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. And so without Dubois, this was not possible because he put on the floor the dream that we can do something great also in Italy.
And do you think it worked?
Oh, very well.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. I think Franciacorta has been one of these mind-opening things for me when I got into wine and started becoming in love with, you know, I'm in love with the story as much as I am with the glass.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will go one way or the other, but for me, when I started to understand Franciacorta, and I've been there, I've been to Brescia, I've been all, you know, and to be in this place and to understand and then taste the wines, I'm sure you can relate to this. You go to a place, you taste the wine, you think it's magnificent. You bring some home, and you taste it, and you're like, oh, it's not as good as I remember. Franciacorta has never done that to me, ever. And Cato Bosco, you know, these are wines that they stay with you, the place comes. Whereas some places, the place stays, but you take the bottle, but it was not as good. Franciacorta is at the absolute pinnacle of sparkling wine in the world. And honestly, I think you deserve a lot of that credit. I don't know how you feel about that statement, but...
Well, I am proud for what I have done, not only for Cato Bosco, but for all the region.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Cato Bosco have give a big contribution in the philosophy of, let's say, go in a certain direction for all the producer and try. Well, was also easy because there was a small number and there was no cooperative, no industry, all grower. So there was a political situation that was easier than other regions.
Sure, of course, of course.
Because you don't have the conflict of interest between the industry
and the rules.
And the rules.
Yeah, which can be very intense.
Well, is the problem of all the appellation, where you have negociant always fighting with Recoltan, when you have cooperative fighting with both of them, and so they cannot apply rules that make the future of an appellation.
I think what this bottle shows, and I'm in an early part of my career. But what this bottle shows is, if you see a goal and you believe it can happen and you stick to it, it's not only obtainable, but you also have to take the chance. I think what you did in Franciacorta, and this bottle is the ultimate proof that it worked. It really is, because to be able to walk into this restaurant, travel with this bottle, put it in front of me, and have my mind blown, I think this proves that anybody frustrated as a 20-year-old, a 24-year-old with a dream and a goal, you have to remember this takes time and you have to stick to it. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for opening this bottle and honestly inspiring the hell out of me because this wine is so good.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Maurizio, thank you for coming to LA. Thank you for opening this.
Thank you.
To Ana Maria Clemente and this 1980 vintage. I am going to quickly drink the rest of it.
Okay. Good for you.
Thank you, sir.
Grazie. Right.
Cheers.
Thank you very much. Okay. Grazie.
I want to thank everybody for listening. I especially want to thank Maurizio Zanella for traveling all the way from Italy with that bottle of wine and letting me be the first person in the U.S. to taste it. God, was that awesome. Go to somtv.com and you can watch that episode right now. I want to thank John Adams for producing, and I want to thank all of you for listening. If you love this podcast, please give us a great review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It means a lot to us. And go to somtv.com and subscribe. We will have announcements for the digital release of Cup of Salvation shortly. Make sure to check somfilms.com for screenings around the country and Canada. And we will talk very soon. I cannot wait for all of the rest of you to see this movie.
If you are in New York City, Cup of Salvation is playing through Thursday, December 14th at the Angelica Film Center and is returning to theaters in Los Angeles at the Lemley Santa Monica December 14th and playing all week at the Lemley Royal until December 21st. Select showtimes will have Q&As with the director, and wine from the film is available. Get tickets at somfilms.com, and thank you, everyone, for the amazing support.